The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Wasn't that good? Wasn't that good? Hey, thank the Lord for that. I tell you what, that's what heaven is going to sound like when you get to heaven. You get to be able to hear singing like that. Then some of us men that can't sing, well, we won't sound like that, but we'll sound like men that sing. And so that'd be good. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, here's what your Bible says again. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, what is the benefits of meditating therein day and night? The Bible says that thou mayest observe to do, it says, according to all that is written therein. So as you meditate in the Word of God, you understand the things that you're supposed to do. So the more that you get in the Word of God, the more the Word of God gets in you, the more the Word of God gets in you, the more the Holy Spirit has a tool to be able to work with you, to guide you the right way. You say, well, so-and-so has been saved for 40 years. How come they're not living like it? It might be that even though they've been saved for 40 years, they've not had the Word of God poured into them that long. Therefore, they don't know. All right? Understand this, that the more of the Word of God that you get in you, again, the more of a tool the Holy Spirit now has to be able to work in your life. So that being said, let's read it again. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I want to speak to you this morning on where is success. You know, I've learned over the years I've been to the Philippines, I would dare say, bunches of times. If I put a number on it, if you just take, I've been traveling to the Philippines now for over 15 years, an average of 3 times a year on average is what I go. Or have gone. I think now that I'm pastoring, it's about 2 times a year, but at least 40 times I've been over to the Philippines. I've learned this. I've learned as you go on these trips that you go internationally that if you're going to be worth anything by the time you return, you prepare on the way over and you don't wait to prepare on the way back. And so on the way over, I prepared the message for this morning, and on the way back, or on the way over, I prepared the message for tonight. You said, why'd you do that? Well, had 14 hours from Dallas to Seoul, Korea, 14-hour flight. Then we had a 5-hour layover in Seoul, Korea, and then we have 4 hours from Seoul, Korea over into Manila, Philippines. And so, you know, you have about 18 hours just in airtime alone that you can do something rather than just sit there, pretend you're asleep and let the slobber come down. I mean, you know, you could actually do something during that time. And so that's when these messages were prepared. You think about Joshua here, and God is giving Joshua the format for success. So Joshua is being given that which is a format in which to follow, whereby he can be successful. Now, the world has a different standard of success than God does. If you get out into this world very long, you're going to find out that the world's definition of success is totally different than God's definition of success. Hey, let me give you some world's definitions of successes, okay? A world's definition of success as of today is when two men get married. That's the world's definition of success. But can I tell you, that's wrong. The world's definition of success is you make money and you be happy. That's the world's definition of success, but that's a wrong definition of success. The world's definition of success is that ladies ought to dress in such an alluring way that they draw men from all different phases of life. That's the wrong definition of success. The world's definition of success is the more people you step on, the higher you go. That is not God's definition of success. The world's definition of success is you have to live in a nice house. Living in a nice house or not living in a nice house, folks, is not God's definition of success. World's definition of success is you have to drive a nice car and have a lucrative bank account. That is not God's definition of success. The world's definition of success is you have to have nice clothes and you have to have nice people that hang around you. But that is not God's definition of success. Success is reading the Bible every day. Success is having a marriage that's a godly marriage, and you marry somebody that has godly character. That's success. Success, according to God's book, is rearing godly children that love the Lord thy God with all their heart, with all their strength, and with all thy might. Success is yielding to God's will. Success is not just obeying your parents, but honoring your parents. Success is paying your college bill on time. Success is finishing Bible college whereby God has called you. Success is helping others more than you help yourself. Success is loving the unlovable. Success is praying and relying on God to help you more than you rely on your peers and your friends. Success is working on a bus route extra hours. Success is putting extra time trying to lead somebody to Christ. Success is encouraging an older person that doesn't know how to encourage you. Success is visiting somebody in the hospital and bringing them a gift. Success is helping someone else to study. Success is being somebody that is not a rule breaker, but rather obeying. Success is walking through the dormitory and waking somebody up that's in our Bible college so they won't be late for class. Success is staying awake, if you will please, while you're in Sunday school. For some people, that's a big success. Amen. Okay? Success is telling the truth when everybody else is lying. Success is listening to your Sunday school teacher while they're teaching. Success is trusting God enough to practice tithing and giving offerings. Success is for our college students filling out a weekly activity report and getting it in on time. Success is studying for those that's in college or for those that's in maybe a school of some type. But success is studying before it comes time to take the test. Success is showing your parents that you love them. Success is praying for your leaders. Success is running with the right crowd, not the wrong crowd. Success is praying in an altar. Success is supporting a man of God. Success is singing instead of standing there and looking like you're not interested. Success is helping your friends to be able to do better than what they're presently doing. Success is speaking well of your enemies instead of vengeance's mine saith me. Success is passing out gospel tracts every day. Success is not criticizing somebody that criticizes you. Success, listen to me, is not defending yourself when somebody criticizes you. Success is giving somebody a birthday card on their lonely birthday. Success is giving somebody an anniversary card on their anniversary. Success is loving people in the nursing home that do not have the ability to love you back. Success is learning to count your blessings instead of counting your problems. Success is listening to a sermon on purpose when the sermon doesn't sound all that interesting. Maybe right about now, okay? Success is wanting more preaching when the preacher's done. Success is cleaning up after yourself instead of making your mom and dad clean up after you. Success is making life-changing decisions, always seeking counsel from your preacher and from other spiritual people first. Success is learning to base the will of God not on location, friends, or family, or personal happiness, but basing the will of God on where God has for you in your life. Success is helping a bus kid come to know Jesus. Success is being faithful to church on Sunday. Success is training a bus kid how to be a soul winner. Success is not being overcome by worldly temptations. Success is praying during hard times. Success is staying next to your friend when your friend goes through the hard times. Success is saying amen when the preacher preaches. Success is ladies smiling and nodding their head when the preacher is talking about their sin. Success is budgeting your time so that you can complete a task. Success is thinking about quitting but not quitting. Success is marching forward instead of retreating. Success is singing in a group and helping them to be able to make it through. Success is staying after and fellowshipping with people instead of being somebody that's a loner. Success is relying on God and your authorities for wisdom. Success is writing encouraging notes to somebody that needs it. Success is taking your mom and dad out on a date and you paying for it. Success is giving another college student a ride to work instead of letting them walk and you wave at them as you drive by. Success is staying a little longer to help somebody clean up after they made the mess. Success is forgiving a betraying friend. Success is keeping your word. Success is repaying a friend that you borrow money from and not taking advantage of them because they're your friend. Success is being patient with God in answering your prayer. Success is honoring the aged. Success is obeying rather than hating. Success is believing the Lord will help you in all things. Success is trusting the Lord to help you in all things. Now, here's just some formulas for success. Now, how is it that we can get there? You know, a lot of the things I said, you would say amen. But if you were honest with me this morning, some of the things I said are hard. If you were honest with me this morning, some of the things I said you would look at and say, yeah, I like to do that. I like to be successful in that, but that's a difficult thing. So how is it that we can be successful in these times of difficult things? What is it that you and I can do? Well, that's where we're going to do a Bible study. Go to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. What I want to do is I want to study the first verses here, verses 6 and 7, that is, before we get to verse 8, and see what is it that we could do to be able to capture success. What is it that we can do? A very simple message this morning. Statement number one, be strong. Be strong. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6, as we dissect these verses this morning, simply be strong. All right? Now, what does it mean to be strong? Well, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Talk to me. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So there's a way to be able to renew your strength. How do you renew your strength? By waiting upon the Lord. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't impatiently wait upon him, but you wait upon him and you give him the privilege of working in your life. Don't be somebody that's stuffy. Don't be somebody that puts God on the spot. You go to God. I love to hear Brother Wislowski pray. Many times when we have somebody that comes to us and we practice in the book of James where the Bible says, call for the elders of the church that they can pray for you. That it's talking about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, but it's also talking about praying and the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. And I love to hear Brother Wislowski, one of my deacons, pray as he gets down. And the first thing he says when he begins to pray for somebody sick is he'll say this: God, we're not putting you on trial. We're not putting you on trial. Do you realize that you and I this morning, dear friend, we don't have a right to put God on trial? See, you say, well, I tell you what, God, you need to answer this prayer right now because I want it. What if God doesn't want it? What if God says, here's what I want to do. I don't want to answer your prayer right now because I want to teach you to be strong continually and trust in me. You know, some people, when they get their prayers answered immediately, then they're satisfied and they say that's it and they pray no more. Some people have a selfish motive for prayer. Some people have a selfish motive to be able to come to church. Some people have a selfish motive as they serve Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says right here that in order for us to be able to follow the same format as was given to Joshua to be able to be successful, and as he's teaching it to the people, then God says one of the very first things we ought to do is simply to be strong. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's why I love church. I love coming to a church that has the Bible, and we open the Bible, and inside of the Bible you see the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you or set you free. So the Bible is that which gives you liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so as we come together week after week, and I love it because as you come to our church, by the way, we're not a non-denominational church that doesn't know what we believe. If I'm going into the supermarket, I want to know what's inside the can before I buy it. We're an independent Baptist with a big B. Amen. Church. That's who we are. Hey, we're not ashamed of that. We don't back away from that. We know who we are by purpose. Somebody said, what would you be if you were not a Baptist? I'd be honest. I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed. All right? Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand. We understand this, that we're supposed to be strong. God says to the believer, be strong. Be strong. You've got to decide that you be strong. You have to decide you'll trust God. You let God be God and every man a liar. You decide you'll stand up for what is right. The reason our nation is in such perplexing problems today is because we have a bunch of passive leaders that are not taking a stand for that which is right, are going forward to accomplish those things that are right. And can I tell you, in the name of God, you ought to decide that your Bible is true, God is true, righteousness is right, stand up for something. You know, a person that stands for nothing will always fall for something. Let me rephrase it. A person that doesn't stand for something will always fall for something. Let me rephrase that. A person that doesn't stand for something will always fall for something else. You say, you're saying the same thing over and over again. I know, because that's where our nation is. Yeah. You know, we have people that don't know what they believe. Right. We do. Well, you know, I don't know if I should discipline my child because after all, I'm not sure. You've got a Bible. Open your Bible and let God speak. Well, you know, I don't know what is right, and I don't know what is wrong. I'm just not sure about this. And this thing came up about, you know, same-sex marriage, and I'm not sure where I should take a stand on that. Hey, you let God define that. No man has a right to change the definition that God himself gave. And you can say that unapologetically. Hey, one man for one woman. That's the way God made it. Keep it that way. Well, I'm scared that somebody might get offended. Hey, let them be offended, but you stand for what is right. You pick up your voice like a mighty trumpet, and you sound forth, and you let God be the one that will help. Be strong. Statement number one. Statement number two, be of good courage. You know, here's what is being said here. It says, be strong and of good courage. You know, God is the one that gives courage. God is the one that can help us to be able to have the right type of courage. Now, depending on where you are, depends the type of need that you have, and depends upon what type of courage God will give. Okay, first time I ever went to Manila, back in the year 2000, 2001, something like that, and I arrived in Manila and I saw the way they drove. Now, I'm not the type of person that is a second seat or what you call a backseat driver. I'm just not that way. I'm not a squeaky person. I'm not one of those that, you know, I'm not the guy that sits across from you, and if you have bad driving habits, you don't see my foot always hitting the floor, trying to hit the brake that is not even there. I don't become your second GPS. I don't do it. If you got a GPS, we let the GPS guide you, and then I don't say turn here, and then they say turn here. Okay, I'm not that way. I'm the quiet guy, kind of sits there, and if so. Now, if you get ready to run into somebody, and I realize you're not paying attention because you're texting while you're driving, all right, then I would say, car. I was preaching for Brother Bachman up in Memphis, Tennessee at Calvary Baptist Church, and Dr. Owens was in the car, and I was in the car where he was taking us back to the airport, and as we were going back to the airport, this deer ran out in front of us and stood there. Well, we were all fellowshipping. He didn't see the deer. And so I said, deer! He looked up. He didn't look at his wife at that time. Thank the Lord for that. But he looked up and he saw that deer, slammed on the brakes, went around the deer, and as we're going, the deer waved at us saying, thank you very much. But what I'm saying is this. I'm saying understand that there's a time when you have to have good courage. And God will give you the grace when you need good courage. You know, years ago, as I started to relate to you, when I would go to the Philippines and I saw the way they drove, I didn't say anything. I just sat there and sometimes I closed my eyes. And now I enjoy it. So what do you enjoy? I enjoy taking new people to the Philippines. That's what I enjoy. I'm saying this. I'm saying be strong. It says be of good courage. Now we're talking about the format for success. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. The Bible says, for unto this people thou shalt divide, it says, the inheritance of the land. So here's what we understand. We understand that God is not done yet. So don't be somebody that says, hey, I'm strong and I'm courageous. How come God is not taking care of my need right now? Again, it might not be that the timing is right, that God wants to do that for you right now. I know many young people that say, dear God, please speak to my parents' heart so I can get a license right now. And they're 15. You know, they don't even have the character to make their bed and they're wanting a driver's license. You know, and yet mom and daddy say this. Mom and dad say, no, you're not getting your life. And they get mad. Well, wait a minute. Do you understand that mom and dad know you better than you know yourself? Do you understand that God is using mom and dad to protect the state of Texas by not giving you a driver's license? Do you understand that God is not done yet? You understand that sometimes we can go to God and say, God, please, would you work this out? Now, don't be impatient with God. Don't put God in a corner and say, God, if you don't answer this prayer right now, that proves to me that you don't love me. Has nothing to do with God's love. Has everything to do with maybe the fact that he loves you more and you just don't understand his love. You know, sometimes parents have to say no, and no is not a bad word. All of a sudden, you start liking this guy. You're a teenager. You start liking this guy, and dad says no. Hey, you better thank God for that. You know what? You know what dad just did? Dad just invoked his power given to him by God to protect you. That's what happened. You say, well, I don't like that. You don't necessarily always have to like the way God works, but you better thank God that God works. Statement number two, I said this. I said that we're supposed to be of good courage. Statement number three, how do we do that? We understand that God is not done yet. You still pray even though your prayers don't get answered when you're praying for the right thing. You still live for God even though it's difficult. You still go forward even though sometimes forward is challenging. You just still decide to understand that God has things that he's going to do in your life and God is going to take and work in your life. But realize, the Bible says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So God says it's not just enough to know things, you've got to be willing to do things. And sometimes, I grew up on a 280-acre farm, Millers, Maryland. We did not plant corn and then the next day go out and reap the harvest. We planted corn and in a seasonal time, we reap the harvest. We live in such an impatient world now. I mean, we have everybody that's just impatient. God, give it to me now. God, you either make my marriage right now and you give me happiness and fulfillment right now, or it's not God's will and I'm leaving her. I'm leaving him. God, please, would you take, you speak to my parents' heart, you change their heart, and God, if you don't do that, I'm leaving them. We live in such an impatient society. You know, sometimes it would be good just to slow down a little bit and say, God, give me the strength that I need. God, would you do this for me? Give me the courage that I need. But God, I understand you're still working in this. Statement number next, okay? Stay true to God's word and you'll find out that eventually you can have the blessings of your forefathers. Stay true to God's word and you'll find that eventually you can have the blessing. By the way, those blessings always came with a price. Those blessings always came with a price. I asked Brother Nobley, I was preaching for him at Bethany, and I asked Brother Nobley, I said, all the years that you've been pastor, have you ever had any trouble? He said, have a seat. And he told me about all the trouble that he's had in being the pastor of that particular church. He said, but Brother Wells, he said, here's what I find out. If I just stay true and faithful, God blesses, listen to what he said, in the end. In the end. Here's what I find out. I'm a pastor. Here's what I find out about churches. You ready? Churches go up in attendance, go down in attendance. Go up in attendance, go down. Let me tell you about your marriage. Happy, sad, happy, sad. Let me tell you about child rearing. Good, not so good. Good, not so good. Let me tell you about your mom and dad. Perfect, not quite as perfect. Perfect, not quite. That's the way it is. Hey, one day you come to church, and man, preacher gets up, and he begins to preach a message, and he shakes the pulpit, he spits on the first five pews, he's a walking Bible. I mean, man, everything he says is just, wow, 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 got something out of it. I got into the car as I was driving away, just kept thinking about that message. And then one day you come to church, preacher gets up to preach, and you say, wonder what he meant. See, one day it's good, the next day it isn't. Now, here's what I tell people all the time when you come to preach. I don't care who's preaching, one of the staff guys, special speaker, I myself. Watch this. When you come to church, always look for that one gold nugget. If you can find just one gold nugget in a sermon, count yourself blessed. Look for that one gold nugget. Yeah, how is it that can serve God? Hey, I talked just a few minutes ago about patience. Man, if that's all you got out of the message, leave here, put it into practice, and you'll find out that you'll get along with God a whole lot better. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, here's what we understand. Here was the formula for success. We see this. He says, be strong. Be of good courage. Understand that God's not done yet. As he says, for unto this people thou shalt divide, it says, the inheritance of the land. Then do this. Statement number four. Stay true and understand that God will bless you as he's promised the forefathers. Look at it, verse 6. He says, which I swear, it says, unto their fathers to give them. There's just something about knowing that you can even be blessed when persecuted. The Bible says, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So you can even be blessed during the times of turmoil in your life. Statement number 5, take God's challenge personally. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, only be thou strong and very courageous. He says to that, which is young Joshua, he said, look, he said, and Joshua to the people, he said, look, be strong and be courageous. You take it personal. When trials come, you be strong. When difficulties come, you be courageous. When temptation comes, you be strong. When temptation comes, you be courageous. You be that. You say, well, nobody's for me. Everybody's against me. That's okay. My Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. My Bible says that you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hey, what more do you need? When God is on your side, that is the majority. See, what we want, Brother Butler, help me. What we want is somebody, help me, Brother Butler. We want somebody to follow us around, just pat us on the back all day long. You're doing good. I'm proud of you. You're doing good. I'm proud of you. You're doing good. I'm proud of you. You're my hero. Will you sign my Bible? You're my hero. Here's Starbucks. You're my hero. Here's a steakhouse. Here's a note for you. Here's a pen for you. Can I shine your shoes? Can I brush your teeth? But that's what we want. And you know it's true. That's what we want. We want somebody that's our own little person following us around all the days of her life, patting us on the back. You did good teaching. You did good preaching. I'm so proud of you. You tied your shoe. You cleaned your room. I'm so proud of you. You sang a song. You went to church. You carried your Bible. I'm so proud of you. You don't need that. You got the Lord God. Let God be the one that encourages you. You may not have somebody patting you on the back, but you take courage. You take strength. You understand God's not done yet, and God can work in your life, and God can help you, and God can encourage you, and God can strengthen you. Thank God for the friends, but if all the friends leave and everybody turns their back on you, you still have God. Watch this. Thank you. Be seated. So take God take the personal challenge that God gives to you. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous. You know, rearing godly kids in an ungodly world is a challenge. Hello? Some of you have had kids that's gone wrong. You've had kids, you thought you did everything you knew was right, and they went wrong. And if you're not careful, here's what you're going to do. You're going to beat yourself up so much that the kids that you have left don't stand a chance of turning out right. Because you begin to doubt the very principles. Do we understand this? The Bible says to train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old. Now you can say old means age, old. Or you could say, like Bill Rice used to say, old is a state of maturity. But the Bible says that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Now, it didn't say that they wouldn't depart from it when they were young. But here's what you do. You have a kid, didn't turn out right, you beat yourself up every day and every night because they didn't turn out right. Well, they might not be the person that they should be right now, but then again, they might not have come to that full state of maturity of understanding yet either. You know, I noticed this about people. They mature at different times in life. You look at a 40-year-old, some of them are mature, some of them aren't. You look at a 50-year-old, some of them are mature and some of them aren't. I've seen 70-year-olds that are not mature. I've seen 80-year-olds that are not mature. And I'm thinking, wow, when are they going to mature? They mature when they're 81 and then they die at 82. But I've seen, now what will mature you? What will mature you is staying in the right type of church. What will mature you is staying in the right Bible. What will mature you is getting your kids around the right type of people and you hanging around the right type of people. All right? So God's challenge is personal. Statement number 6, realize that only by being strong and very courageous will you be able to obey all of God's word. Look at it in verse 7. The Bible says, only be thou, it says, strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. He said that thou mayest. So that also implies that you may not be able to do all the law if you're not strong and courageous. So if a person is not strong and courageous, they might not be able to accomplish doing all that is commanded in the Word of God. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be strong and courageous so I can be able to do all of the Word of God. Statement number 7. Be strong and very courageous. What's it going to do? It's going to develop your desire towards the man of God. So if the man of God represents the truth of God, the more you listen to the man of God who gives the truth of God, it not only creates a desire to draw you to the truth. Okay, watch this. Okay, let's use another guy. Stand up for the Craig. Hold your Bible like you're preaching. Just pretend. Pointing. Okay. Keep pointing. Just stay with me. Keep pointing. Okay, so I'm sitting out there. I hear him preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night. And sometimes I don't like it because that finger seems to be pointing at me. And sometimes I don't like it. But watch, I'm going to show you something. But he's still preaching. And he's going to preach whether I think the finger's pointing at me or not. Because that's what preachers do. All right, now wait a minute, watch this though. But if I keep coming back, well, I didn't like what he said today. He stomped on my feet. He sat in my lap. He spit in my eyeball. That preacher had it in for me. But if you keep coming back, you get to see a pastor that preaches the whole counsel of God. So he's hitting so many different things, you'll figure it out eventually, that it's just not about you. But then here's something else that you figure out, that he's still going to be preaching. Okay, somebody gets mad, they leave the church. You ever found anybody like that? Sure you have. Somebody gets mad, they leave the church, they come back a year later, same guy, same finger, same Bible, same type of preaching. Somebody gets mad, they leave the church, come back 4 years later, same guy, same finger, same Bible. Somebody gets mad, they leave the church, they come back 10 years later, same finger, a little bit older now. Same body, a little bit bigger now. Same Bible truth. It's true. It's true. Because somebody that preaches the Bible, if they stay with the Bible, are always going to preach the Bible. Now here's what I found out. I'm sitting there and he's preaching, and I'm saying, here's the way it should be. Man, don't hit me. No, don't. Stop it. Here's the way it should be. Hit me again. Oh, that's so good. Because the Word of God will help you. You ever get sick, you got to take medicine? The nastier the medicine tastes, normally the greater help that it gives. Oh, Mom, do I have to take that? Swallow it, it'll make you feel better. All right, thank you, be seated. Watch, here we go. So realize that only by being strong and very courageous, statement number 6, will you be able to obey God's will. Watch this. Statement number 7, now I got 2 more and I'm done. Be very strong and very courageous also will help you develop your desire towards the man of God. As he preaches the word of God, I hear the word of God, it draws me closer to him. Because I realize he's telling me the truth whether I want to hear it or not. Statement number next. Only by being strong and very courageous are you able to obey all of the will of God and be prosperous. Look at verse 7, I'm almost done. It says that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Demas, the Bible said, had forsaken because having loved this present world. So you got a world that's pulling on you. Come on, you realize the farther America gets from God, stay with me, the less popular truth becomes. Stand up one more time. Finger going. Okay, so I come to church and he says, this is what the Bible says. All right, here's my world. Stand up, world. But the world's trying to pull me this way. I mean, all week long. Then I break away. I go to church on Sunday. He's telling me something totally different. I go back to work on Monday. They put hands on me. They're pulling me back. I break away. I go to church on Wednesday night. And I'm hearing something totally opposite. Because the world's terminology of success is totally different than God's terminology of success. They've got their own music. They've got their own language. They've got their own dress. They've got their own amusements. They've got their own evils. They've got their... And so I go to work. I've got to go to work. I got a wife, and she likes to eat. I've got children. They like to eat. I got to go to work. I go to work, and he's saying curse words. No, don't. He's playing his music. I got to go to work because I like to eat. I said, but wait, I need to go to church too. So I go to church, Preacher gets up and says, hey, this is how you rear a godly family. Oh, oh. Come back, begin to tell these guys that, and they laugh at me, make fun of me, cast a scorn at me. And I say, okay, yeah, I'm a public school kid. Now, I go to an independent Baptist church where the truth is preached. I hear it. I say, man, that's good. I believe it. That's clean. That's right. That's holy. Wow. This is so good. I didn't know there was a church like this ever existed. Wow. They believe and preach the Bible. Wow. Then I go back to my public school. You know, I hang around the guy. Hey, let me tell you, what did you do this weekend? He said, went out and got drunk. What'd you do this weekend? Robbed a store. I've robbed several stores. What'd you do this weekend? They say, what'd you do this weekend? Went to church. What'd you get out of church? Bible. God. You're in trouble. I'm telling you. How do I keep going? I get with God and say, God, would you help me?
Right, amen.
By the way, this is why your church life is so important.
Amen.
I'm going to show you something. Here I am. You ready? I just go Sunday morning. He rips my face off. Okay. I go back. I get with my guy. My guys encourage me. Hey, man, you don't need to go down to that church telling you how to live godly. What are you doing? Hey, live like us. No rules, no regulations. Do what we want to do anytime we want to do it. Nobody's telling us what not to do. And if I'm not careful, even as a believer, here's what I say. Hey, this is great, man. Yeah, come on, man. I'll help you rob the store.
Yeah, right.
You know? You see what I'm saying? Now, if I only come on Sunday morning and I'm hanging over here all the time, who am I going to become more like? Come on, talk to me. Who am I going to become more like? But if I take it, I go here Sunday morning, I go here Sunday night, I'm here Wednesday night. Come on, preacher. Yeah. Come on, baby. You're stepping on my toes. Hey, you're sucking my eyeballs out. Come on. You're preaching up my nose. Come on. Hey, hit me again. Pooh. Hit me again. Pooh. Hit me again. Pooh. This is good. Hey, tell me how to live. Yes. Woo. And by the way, when I get in here, when I go back, hey, let me tell you guys. You know, what you're doing is not right. What you need to do, sir, you need to come to church with me.
Yes, sir.
You know, okay. Sir, you need to come to church. Give up your ungodly lifestyle. You stop robbing those stores.
Right.
You get in church. Hey, we'll teach you how to live, man. You become more bold because now you got the Word of God in you.
Amen.
Watch this. I'm done. The only hope that your children have is God, the Bible, and church. So I hope they got. Get it. The only hope they've got is God, the Bible, and church. I don't know what Parkside Baptist Church is going to be. I think I'm giving another maybe 15, 20 years. Somebody probably take my place. I don't know what it's going to be like. But now we got it pretty good. I mean, now, I'm telling you, you don't travel like I travel. I'm telling you, we got pretty good.
Amen.
We got good church, good spirit.
Amen.
God's working.
Amen.
Don't have troublemakers in the church. And I'm saying, look, you understand this, that let you be that person that decides to do all that God says to do. And then here's the result. Here it is. I'm done. We'll start a stop where we finished. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Neat thing about being in the right place, right Bible, right truth. When you leave, it's like, man, that was so good. Then when you obey it, wow, you can sleep good at night. Come on. Nothing is good about it. Preacher gets up sometimes and he preaches, and he says things that you wish you could tell your kids that you can't, but he does for you. All right, you ready? Here it is. I believe with all my heart that if we just decide that we're going to get in this book right here, be a people of the book, come to church. Oh man, I wish they had the other type of music here. It's not about the music. It's about the Bible. Man, I just wish they had all these other social, not about the social clubs. It's about the Bible. Now I wish I could go to, it's about the Bible. And what you're going to find out, if you fall in love with the Bible, that makes the entire difference. And God will change you and those around you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.